Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Streets like a jungle, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Ball's here.
Oh, I'll swing for this.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
On holiday.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Damon Albarn's 50.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, another week, another ramble has begun, and we're together again. Luke, put your phone down.
Sorry, I was just filming your intro because it's so iconic.
Yeah, it's important to get them all down.
Moronic or iconic?
Either, take your pick. I'll do a Twitter poll.
For the montage when you die.
Yeah.
We need it down, we need them all down.
I would be more relaxed if you said that without a weapon in your hand.
It's not a weapon.
but it can be used as well.
Not in this mode.
Anyway... Vindaloo.
Hey, Vindaloo. 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 Na, na. Easy. We are bloody on, ladies and gentlemen. We're on for it.
Not my words. The words of Ronald Koeman, a Dutchman. England looked more comfortable on the ball. Wow. Tie it up now.
Yep.
That's it. We'll
there
take
we go.
It.
Through the looking glass.
And with the recent political business going on, let's boycott the World Cup because it's not going to get any better than this.
Yeah.
Did you see us, ladies and gentlemen, playing it out from the back?
There was a lot of playing it out from the back.
God,
I shouldn't have been at the back.
I thought I'd never live to see the day.
Pete's fuming.
Former Sunderland goalkeeper with a ball at his feet.
Oh, look, every time he did a cross turn in 6 yard box, I was like, yes, more of this, please.
Beautiful.
More, I can't see how this is ever going to go wrong.
Yeah. You must love it, Pete, because you know.
I genuinely, every time I got the ball, I was like, just wait, wait, wait. Now do something mad. I loved it.
Well, the Southgate, there's been a problem with that with England for many years now of not being entertaining.
Yes.
And that's because England can't break teams down. They're not particularly great going forward and so on. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the entertainment right at the back. And we're going to, oh, are we going to lose it? Are we not? Oh, we just got through. But I'll tell you something, the goal all started with Pickford, didn't it?
Yeah.
Playing a lovely little short ball inside.
So how do you, Marcus particularly, how do you think, because you're...
I'll field this one.
You're on the crest of the wave. You're on the crest of a wave at the moment, so might as well make the most of it.
You're riding astride a lion.
Yeah.
The third lion.
He's been on the phone to Keith Allen all morning. how bad do you think Netherlands actually are? Because I don't know if I think they're that bad. I know they didn't qualify, but if you look through their team, they've got players there who are in latter stages of the Champions League and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Kevin Strootman, Van Dijk,
Van Alden.
Van Alden, one of the most highly rated young defenders in Delight, in the world. Mm. Ryan Babel on the bench. Mm. They've got a lot of players.
Bas Dost,
exactly. Yeah. Bas Dost football duty. How much should we read into England's performance against this Netherlands team in the the Johan Cruyff Arena?
Yeah, well, you've read out their credentials. Couldn't score against England. England made a decent side look very, very ordinary. Mm. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need to read in as much as possible. To this.
Get it in while we can, because we play Italy tomorrow night.
Yep.
And it might all come crashing down.
This is the best time. The pre-World Cup friendlies are the best time if England get a handy win against somebody. Look, England, all joking aside, England did look quite good.
England were the better side, but I think currently they are the better side, aren't you? The fact that, you know, we qualified and the Dutch didn't shows you that. But I think what was impressive to me was how they were very, very focused and managed to stay on the front foot pretty much the whole game. Controlled it by being on the front foot, which is so positive. And that's streets away from what we've had from England in the last few tournaments, or for the last decade, really, because as we touched on earlier, it's been boring. It never used to be boring watching England. It would be heartbreaking and it would be frustrating for lots of different reasons, but it was never boring. It's now been boring for about a decade. And maybe more.
The only thing I would take issue there with, Jim, possibly, is that I don't think just because England qualified and Netherlands didn't, it means we're automatically better than them. I think, obviously, a lot of it depends on the group and the pot you're in and all the rest of it. And Netherlands are traditionally a team who you'd expect to improve should they actually make the tournament. You'd expect them to get their stuff together. We all know the shortcomings of this Netherlands team, who are very much in transition at the moment. But still, an away win against the Netherlands, whether it's in 1970 or in 2018 or whatever, it's obviously going to be a hallmark result. But I listened to the game on the radio and then I watched it back later. And on the radio, they were very, very surprised, astonished, in fact, with the first 11 that Southgate picked, particularly with Kyle Walker playing right centre-back.
Yeah. This is what I like about Southgate, actually. I've really warmed to him. Wasn't particularly cold to Southgate. Obviously, we joked at the start that, you know, give a man who doesn't want the job and see how that works out. I think Southgate is pragmatic. I think he is a realist. But I think he's got an idea. And I think that even in the interviews when he's being asked stupid questions about the political climate, about Russia and so on, he plays it with a very firm and straight bat. I like Southgate. I like the cut of his gym.
Do you get the impression that he's also... because what I desperately want him to be, and I'd like to know your guys' opinion on it, because I don't know whether I just want it to be the case and whether it actually is. I get the impression... One of England's many problems has been the build-up to a tournament, whether it be a Euros or a World Cup, is always treated in like isolation.
Yeah.
And then when it goes wrong, inevitably, by our own standards, we just tear it up, start again. What tends to happen is a manager, if it's his first tournament and he bombs out, he gets given the benefit of the doubt, he gets another tournament, and then he goes. Mm. And they're all treated in isolation. With Southgate, what I'm starting to see, and I hope I'm right, is that he's thinking of the bigger picture.
Yeah, there's a sort of a plan there.
Why do we have to win 2018 when we can plan for 2022 or 2020 or 2024, when we can just actually keep a coherent squad of players together where he can possibly say to someone who's young, like John Stones or even like someone like Kieran Trippier or whoever, or Lingard, for example, use it for experience. Enjoy yourself. Go out there. Enjoy yourself. And, you know, you'll be a better player for this experience out the back of this tournament, whatever happens.
But what you're saying about that is, what you're touching upon is, England have always gone into tournaments and said, right, we'll focus on just this tournament and that's it. This is, you know, as Pardew said, win, lose or bust, you know, if he wanted to become England manager.
For one tournament and that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about the here and now. Now, don't get me wrong. There is something to be said of, you know, if England did have a player who was, say, 33, 34, and he was in the squad, you know, when Jermaine Defoe was knocking around the team, what's the point? That's not one for the future. Yes, but you can pick a player who is for the now as well, and maybe just for the now.
Balance,
there's nothing wrong with that. But I think with England, they'd always want to sort of, if you like, parachute a manager in. And the manager would be almost playing. The manager would be very aware of his own career. You lose a few games, the press are on your back, and then you're bombed out, and then that's obviously very, very bad. And I think they tried something a bit different with Hodgson, and it didn't work out, obviously, with Southgate. This is a guy who's been at the under-21 level. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think if Southgate went back to the under-21s, if it didn't work out, I don't know if that would happen, but let's just say if it would, I think he'd be okay with that. Mm. I think Southgate would think, well, you know, this isn't the be-all and end-all of my career.
Yeah.
He stepped up when he needed to. And I think with Southgate, that realistic and pragmatic, but also slightly positive approach, you know, with the way England are playing. I think Southgate is not bothered with what the media are saying. Finally, we have an England manager who looks like he isn't trying to bow to the pressure of the media. And he's saying, no, this is what I've seen. He's worked with a lot of these players at under 21 level. He wants to stamp some sort of identity in that England side, be a little bit more positive. And as he said, that a lot of the England players that are coming through now, they're of a different generation. That they're a little bit more tactically aware. They play with a little bit more freedom, and perhaps getting rid of that fear that inhibited so many England players previously. And he spoke of this new type of player coming through, and he's wanting to try and reward that. And yes, it comes at a time, admittedly, that he doesn't have six or seven names that you'd have to put in a sense. He doesn't have the Lampards and Ferdinands and so on, so he can be a little bit more experimental with the likes of Walker in a back three or...
Well, the Walker in the back three thing, just to cut in there, for me was a case of, we're 3 months out from the World Cup, I thought it was a bit like he was trying to work out a scenario. So they've probably worked on it in training. He knows Walker's abilities and his athleticism and all the rest of it. He's probably thought...
And understands John Stones' game, you'd imagine, from club level.
Exactly. So he's thinking, if we're playing a 4-2-3-1 and we're 1-0 down with half hour to go, can I sacrifice a centre-back for a more attacking player and move Walker into the middle and not lose his athleticism, his pace on the break and all the rest of it? If he can do a passable job for me as a right centre-back, that's a much more preferential move than having to take off a really attack-minded player for another attack-minded player.
Absolutely. I mean, as well, if you're in a situation where Kieran Trippier is bombing on high up the pitch, which if England are trying to get back into the game, we're trying to sort of wrestle control of a game, might well happen. Having the pace of Walker and the experience in that area that he'll be covering is priceless.
Yeah, I think when...
He played really well, too.
Just kicking him up the arse saying, you wouldn't even be playing if it weren't for me leaving Spurs.
Yeah, I tend to think when it comes to England, if Glenn Hoddle's pleased and excited, then I'm pleased and excited.
Well, I mean, hopefully this comes across on the show, or has come across on the show over the years. The two things I want to see when I see England is I want to see them look like they know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I want to see them move the ball quickly.
And that's what they did.
Well, there's a lot of players now that seem to want the ball at their feet and seem to want to actually have it, which hasn't always been the case.
Look at the movement of some of those England players. Now,
it was very fluid, wasn't it?
It was much more fluid.
At points disorganised, but definitely very fluid.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, look, I appreciate that we're going to talk about Germany versus Spain in a minute, all right? So we know our state, know our position in the world at the moment. But it was without a doubt a more positive performance. And it's interesting that Southgate, he wanted to play a little bit more attacking and experimental, because against the Netherlands, it's a different opposition than when England played Germany and Brazil, which was also experimental. But I think Southgate is working out, this is how we might play against some of the bigger sides. This is how we might play against sides in which we think we can go at them. And that, to me, is encouraging. One of the things I often say on this show about England is England breeze through qualifying because they play five or six teams who will just defend against England and try and hit England on the break. And then England go to a tournament and they need to express themselves a bit more. They can't break a side down. They can't really defend very well. And it's kind of like, what do you do? Mm. And so Southgate, again, knows this. He's realistic. I don't think Southgate is going, I'll come in and I'll sort this out. Tell you what we need to do is we need to play 4-3-3, but my way. Mm. I don't think he's doing that. I think he is saying, right, okay, what have we got? What can we do? And at times damage limitation, or not damage limitation, but at times managed retreat, you like.
I think he can be quite ambitious within that pragmatism, though, because he's looking at the way Spurs play and the way Man City play, and he's like, all right, we've got a chance to actually really capitalise on that. And like John Stones this week has been talking about the influence of Guardiola on the England squad, which is music to all of our ears. I'm sure we'd agree.
Is that why Jose Mourinho's now back in Scotland?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
What do you think of Jordan Henderson's performance?
Interesting. I thought that, if you're talking about these club partnerships in and out of the side, I mean, him and Oxlade-Chamberlain, and that, well, it didn't surprise me that he started Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, he played very well, too.
Yeah, I think
Wilshere was going to be lined up for a start, wasn't he? But he
quite possibly.
But the reason I bring up Henderson is because I did a bit of research around him and his reputation and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And in this season, I was really surprised to see that he's got more forward passes on average than... Mm-hmm. I found a competition sort of metric thing. Comparing him with Eric Dyer and Jack Wilshere. And I don't think you play Henderson and Dyer if you're playing a two in front of the back four, you play one or the other. And I like Wilshere because he can pick up the ball in the half turn, as I said before, but clearly he's got problems with his fitness. But I was surprised to see that on average per 90 minutes, Henderson's got more total forward passes than both those players, more key passes, wins more tackles, wins more aerial duels and creates more chances, which is interesting because his reputation is as a really steady Eddie, keep the ball,
which I think is unfair.
Recycle it.
I think he's a more positive player than people give him credit for, and those stats back that up.
And anyone seeing what Wilshere did in that Iceland match sort of goes, I don't want to see that again.
I don't think we want to see any of that again.
I think the Iceland game was a hard reset. I think
what's nice,
England getting bullied. Why England bruise?
we bruise easily. Yeah. Certainly. I think that some of these younger players, although some of them aren't that young in comparison, but somebody like Jesse Lingard, he doesn't really give a damn, does he? No. I like that. The post-match interview,
he's got
certainly
such a kind of like,
whatever.
Yeah.
His character. But I think England need that. I think England wants someone to come in with that kind of attitude, who loves just expressing themselves on the pitch. Yeah. Yeah. Got his goal, and it was great that England scored.
It's no surprise that he gets important goals when you see him interviewed, and the whole life just washes over him.
Yeah.
He doesn't really engage, doesn't really care. Yeah, and that's why he scores goals at Wembley.
Because all he's thinking is if I can...
Danny Rose is like a chippy northerner.
No, but Danny Rose is really dour, though, isn't he?
Yes. Pete, defend your people.
People?
Oh, are they not people, are they? Unbelievable. Jim, I think we've escaped scot-free there. Yeah.
But, don't get a start in the Scots.
I think with someone like Lingard, all he's thinking is, oh, if I can score, I can do that little celebration that I want to do.
That's
his only concern.
Planning a celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
I've noticed something, actually, which has been bugging me for a while. It's about Harry Maguire. He did play well. I think he's a very good player, but he runs in a particular way, and it's been reminding me of someone for a while, and I couldn't think of who it was, but it struck me over the weekend that it's that guy who fell down that escalator in an England kit in that recent
I remember that. That was one of the greatest videos I've ever seen. Yeah.
I was watching that match, and I was like, going, I don't watch as much Harry Maguire as I should, but I was like, he just looks like a big Lampard for me. Like, his physicality and his face as well.
It's just
like, big Lampard. I probably should have better things to say and more intelligent, erudite things to say about the England team. But no, I'm like, got a big Lampard. I hit that footy.
You need one.
Peter,
big Lampard.
He's got lovely thighs.
Has
strong
he?
Thighs.
Right, okay.
Maguire.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They all have these days, don't they?
Mate. All the footballers do.
So, I got the hammers.
I think with Lingard, you would have him as an impact sub, would you?
Well, I don't know. I think he's
pushing for a start.
I think he's pushing for a start. I think that's a good thing. I think Lingard will definitely go. I think he should go. Mm. And I think England, I think, you know, the back three is going to happen. And I think with Kyle Walker in the back three as well, I'm not sure Kyle Walker would play in a back three if it was against a Brazil or a Germany. But against a lesser opposition, I think he might well do, because he can step forward into a little bit of midfield space like we see the fullback sometimes do with Guardiola's teams. And it adds a little bit more, because to have just three men, so say if England are playing Panama, for example, or Tunisia, I don't really know how those sides set up particularly. But if they've got one up front and England are playing a back three against a side that you really need to be on the front foot, I can understand people thinking, well, is that a tiny bit negative? If Walker's in there, he can actually push up a little bit more as well without disrupting that back line too much. But also he can get back because of his athleticism and pace. You know, and make the use of what you have. Yeah. Don't try and shoehorn the players into a preconceived position or preconceived formation that you've used throughout your 15 or 20 year managerial career. Yeah, I understand that. But Southgate sees what he's got. He said, well, how can we just tweak that there and a little bit there and so on?
Do you think Eric Dier will be looked at as an option?
I think Dier
for a similar reason, but in the other sense, in that he can drop back into.
Yeah, well, Dier's
that
he likes
even
Dier
more.
We've got some
we've got some
flexible players.
Yeah.
In that position.
They're all flexible these days.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't see that Kyle Walker thing coming. I was just trying to make sense of why he might have done it, that's all.
Yeah, he did explain that.
And we still got Kane to come back in.
We still got Kane.
You'd expect Dele Alli to start the game the first World Cup.
And if we need him, we can still call on Wayne Rooney.
Exactly.
Quite. You know? What do we do? Raheem Sterling as a sort of a forward in that 3-5-2. We thought that he might be given that sort of slight free role.
You'd expect possibly for him to play just behind Kane, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
When they play the first World Cup game, I'm thinking of. So, I mean, it was a slightly different role he was asked to perform against Netherlands.
Indeed,
but the reason this is encouraging as well is because it was a bit of a sort of surprising team selection. I mean, three or four of those players you wouldn't necessarily expect to start. There's improvement to come.
I quite like Oxlade-Chamberlain, that midfield, the way he's been playing for Liverpool. Again, on the front foot, uses his pace. I can get forward as well. I think it'd be interesting.
Positive.
But very positive. And the goalkeeping situation, perhaps we'll just finish on that, as we spoke about that before. Pickford did himself the world of good. And Southgate talked about the distribution, but did you see Jack Butland, who probably will start against Italy? Butland went, well, I mean, my distribution's all right as well. You know, I mean, he obviously plays in a team where he can do that a bit more.
Who's been having a go at my distribution? Imagine that in a post-match. What did you think about Jordan Pickford's distribution? Has someone been talking about my distribution? Who was it?
He said that Pickford plays in a team where maybe he's afforded to play a bit like that. And I thought,
I'm DHL, bruv. I'll distribute you in a minute.
I thought he's playing under Big Sam. Yeah. But there we are. So it will be interesting to see. And also, again, just to finish on the goalkeeper chat, it does look like Joe Hart will be in there, from according to sort of rumours and reports. Again, as a little bit of insurance and so on. But there's a number three, Jim, before you wipe out or dismiss everything we've just spoken about that England team.
I didn't say anything. I just made a face.
Yes, exactly. Not an audio feature.
Jim would prefer to have Carlos Tevez in there as a third. And that is saying something.
Indeed. Indeed. So there we are. Good stuff from England. Not an encouraging day's work for Alex McLeish, of course, against Costa Rica. They lost 1-0. Big X first match in charge since returning.
Echoes of World Cup 90, Marcus.
Big echoes.
First match in charge since returning to the Scottish national team. His night was ruined by Marco Urena.
Big echo.
Big echo.
Jim just did that, didn't he?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim. I was fucking... Right. Do you know what I was doing?
I just assumed it was an echo.
I was trying to remember how old Scott McTominay is. Right. That's why I wasn't listening. Sorry, Jim.
Scotland's brave Scott McTominay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, time, isn't he? 21?
I think so, yeah.
He's 21, yeah. But yeah, McLeish himself wants the younger players coming through to play with a bit more swagger without inhibitions as well. And McTominay, you would imagine, would be a big part of that. And it's difficult. As McLeish said to Scotland supporters, there may be a wee bit of pain before they can go forward.
Before? I think they're fairly used to a wee bit of pain by now, aren't they?
McTominay, this is just a sort of a plea to Scott, if he's listening. Mm-hmm. You've had a little taste.
Yeah.
It's only a friendly. You can still change your mind.
Yeah. You saw what the Three Lions did.
Do you know Mourinho was there?
Yeah.
He went to watch him.
Yeah.
Who was he sat next to?
Who was he? I don't know. Who was he sat next to?
He's got his...
Craigie Brune.
Yes. Quite...
He's got his, apparently Mourinho's got his eye on Brian Oviedo.
Is that right?
to replace Luke Shaw.
Is that right? Yeah.
Brian Ruiz as well, played in the game.
Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you? Scott McTominay coming back to Manchester United, Lingard will be giving it the big one and so on and so forth. He could change his mind, although Jose Mourinho, who seems to pick the Scotland national team now, probably won't do that.
Craig, why is this happening?
Well, Craig Brown has a theory about this. And if it's Craig Brown's theory, then I would replace the word theory with fact. He said it's not the first time they've
met.
What's that?
Do it in the voice or don't do it at all.
Yeah, hang on.
That's in your contract.
I have a contract?
Yeah.
Craig Brown mentioned the fact that it wasn't the first time that he and Jose Mourinho have met.
You slipped into a quote there.
He said, well, I had to set up the quote. He said, when he started at Chelsea, I was at Derby, and I met him at a reserve game in the hamburger queue.
One hamburger, please.
Did he say anything else?
I've no doubt they talked the night away.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brown believes that Mourinho loves Scotland, which is why he reckons that Jose persuaded McTominay to play for them. Peppered England to get into a player like McTominay is just like beating them in a game. Yeah. You don't get three points for that, Craig.
No.
You may prove a point, but you don't get any points on the board.
Costa Rica, as per Jim Campbell's metric, they qualify for the World Cups. They're better than Scotland.
Well, they proved it again.
And they beat them again, yeah.
They're in a group with Brazil, Switzerland and Serbia.
Hmm.
Tough. Mm. Would there be a clear front runner for that group?
Yeah, I think probably. Yes, I would say yes.
An early prediction from Luke Moore there.
Yeah. Mm. But Costa Rica, I mean, Mexico. I mean, you would say are the best team in that Central America qualifying group. But Costa Rica, I mean, was standout second best team in that. And of course,
the previous World Cup. You know, the thing with a tournament like that. It gives great experience to certain players, but also. It gives a wonderful example to players coming through. Suddenly you think, oh, hang on a minute, I'm playing for the Costa Rica. We got to a World Cup quarterfinal, was it?
Yeah.
We've done well. Oh, hang on.
This is also a team who beat the United States 4-0 in qualifying.
Yeah.
Mm. I know the United States were in a bit of a sorry state.
It's still a good victory.
The sorry states of America. but yeah, 4-0, I mean, it's a good win against a team who... We've seen the United States have at least an impact in World Cups in recent memory.
It's a record to England.
Yeah. So that speaks for itself, I would say.
Yeah, I know. I think it's going to be. I think it's interesting.
There's something because of the World Cup 90 history of Scotland and Costa Rica. It would be particularly galling, no matter how good Costa Rica are or aren't, for Scottish fans to go and watch their team at home to Costa Rica and get beat 1-0. It's just quite a depressing result.
Especially when McLeish was back in town. Yeah. You know, yeah. When the parade is pissed off.
I know for a fact Big Walter wanted it. But the SFA mucked around, didn't give him the contract. So they've stuck with Big Echo.
Well, it will be interesting because McLeish, as we said there, is trying to bring a few youngsters through. But Scotland were close to getting to the playoffs last time round, and you think that maybe Strachan was getting onto something. And then McLeish comes in and he wants to try and have a little shuffle of the pack so on. And I understand when he says there's going to be a wee bit of pain because he needs to figure out what's going on.
I did enjoy Irvin Welsh character Ollie McBurney playing with his socks rolled down.
I
do like that.
I like that.
Scotland, I think they only came third in the group on goal difference, didn't they?
Yeah, so, they were close to a playoff.
So there's a building block there for them in terms of the pots for the next draw and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think McLeish is a very inspiring appointment, though. And actually, it taps into what you were saying in reference to England earlier. It's just more of the same.
But when you're talking about, say, like Costa Rica, we say, you know, you get to a quarterfinal of the World Cup, which was a stunning achievement, you know. Mm. And they were only just beaten, was it by the Dutch on penalties? Mm. And Costa Rica, excuse me, a team with not a great World Cup pedigree, but you know that is a World Cup which you can hang your hat on for a good few years and use that as positivity and use that as encouragement to get some players to play with pride and play with a bit of passion for the shirt and all that kind of stuff. With Scotland, it's been so long now since they qualified for a major tournament that there's just a heavy feeling.
And there's absolutely no reason why.
But if they qualified,
Scotland could replicate what Costa Rica have done. There's no reason. If you look at the squad that Costa Rica have, you've got about five or six of them playing Costa Rica, a load of them playing MLS. You've got a few dotted around who play in Europe, but not really a huge amount. I mean, Keylor Navas is the standout player there. Scotland have a decent amount of players playing in good leagues.
Yeah, and if Scotland could qualify for a World Cup, the lift that would give everybody. And it's that kind of belief, you know, when you go away from home to a slightly tricky opposition, you don't go, oh, I hope we nook a point. You a bit of confidence and so on that can give. But it was nice to see Tom Kearney get a start.
Yes.
I will say that.
He's in good form.
Right then, we are going to go abroad after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Before we do that, we're going to have some correspondence with Pete Don.
We are going to have some correspondence with Pete Don. Just writing down the advert break time, and I'll be with you now. Hello there. Pete Donald's there in Correspondence Corner. Hello to Nelson. Nelson got in touch. After hearing your chat about the Panama Grandma, I wondered what other grandmas have influenced sport. Look no further than this year's 2018 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt is the 98-year-old team chaplain for the Loyola Chicago Ramblers,
ooh,
who rose to fame for one of her pre-game speeches. She's attended every game of the tournament. She travels with the team. Following each game, the players hug her. Social media loves her. She was mentioned in a tweet by Barack Obama, and she now gives her own post-game interviews. Beyond being a sweet story, this is the first time that Loyola reached the Final Four 1985. I'm not really sure what that means, but either way, come on, you Spurs.
Don't bother reading it before.
Well, there was a PS about that he didn't like our intro music. I'm not going to mention. So there we go.
Well, you have mentioned.
Well, you know. Scott Collin. Hello, Scott Collin. Hi, just heard Thursday's show about England's goalkeeping situation. Southgate was Middlesbrough manager back in the day. We are aware of that. Aussie legend Mark Schwarzer was in the final year of his contract. He wanted 2 years and didn't get it. He went on to win the league with Chelsea and Leicester. Borough had two backup keepers at the time to replace Big Mark, Ross Turnbull, latterly of Chelsea and Rotherham, and Brad Jones, latterly of Liverpool. Both had flaws and both weren't that good. After Schwarzer left, Southgate said, paraphrased, "Well, I've got two good keepers, I'm going to rotate them." They both had flaws, they weren't very good, and he was sacked. So, point being, expect the unexpected. Whenever Southgate has multiple goalkeepers to choose from, it's a disaster.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, thank you, Scott from Hartlepool.
I remember when he got sacked from Middlesbrough, and I think some of the Middlesbrough fans weren't that best pleased with him, but I think they were doing okay in the league.
He took them to 12th in the Premier League, and also, one thing that does go under the radar and should be mentioned in the context of England having a glorious summer...
Is Southgate once missed a penalty for England?
No. Is that Middlesbrough, under Gareth Southgate, beat Man City 8-1.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And which former England manager's career was killed off at Man City thanks to that?
Stuart Pearce.
Sven Higgins.
There we go.
There we are.
Ben Higgins. If you want to get to the show, as always, it's show@thefootballramble.com.
It is indeed. Now then, back to content corner.
Ooh. Actually, did Southgate get Middlesbrough relegated?
Oh, he might have done.
Yeah,
we're a bit hazy on that. But he was a good player. An entertaining draw between Germany and Spain, those two heavyweights. Both sides still unbeaten since Euro 2016.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I watched the highlights for this game, and the extended highlights of this game, after I watched England, and I was excited by England.
I didn't do that.
And then I wasn't.
I thought to myself, I'm going to give myself an evening to enjoy this.
That game, if anyone here is listening, didn't watch anything of the Germany 1, Spain 1 game, do yourself a favour. Find 20 minutes spare. Watch the highlights of that game. It is absolutely relentless. The
big boy school.
The quality on show was like, you know, you're in year 7 and you're watching year 11's play. The amount of chances that both teams end to end were able to create, particularly in the first half hour, it was football on another planet. And on Wednesday on the continent, I'm going to ask Andy and James, how many leagues above England are these two teams? Because... they look to me like absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you agree, Mark.
The first goal was superb.
Yeah.
The Spanish one. It was a classic, what we come to expect from Spain now, a little slip through and a beautiful finish.
But it was also even more than superb, purely because the defensive players who were being carved open are all really good players.
Imagine, I would like to see the accumulated silverware between those two squads.
It'd be extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
Be huge.
Because Germany played a centre-back pairing of Hummels and Boateng. And were still able to, and Spain were able to carve open that goal, making them look absolutely ordinary.
Also, there was a point where Mesut Ozil just tricked his way past the player like he wasn't there, and that man was Andres Iniesta.
Yeah.
But Germany are one game away from equaling their record of 23 matches unbeaten, and Spain haven't lost in 17. But you're right, Luke. I mean, when we talk about England, just to... have a quick recap there. We are talking about it in the context of England, you know. So we can get a little bit excited and encouraged from what we saw. Yeah. But of course, when you put that up against the likes of Germany and Spain, you know. But that's a foolish thing to do because England are not as good as them.
We've looked better when we played better teams than the Dutch. Let's make that very clear. The Dutch didn't put any sort of pace together. They weren't relentless. They were pretty dreadful.
They were terrible on the night, but I was just trying to get an idea of how good they are generally, because they're definitely in transition. But what needs to happen is you need to think of England a bit like a good championship team in the FA Cup, for example.
Yeah.
If you get to the quarterfinal and you draw a Spain or a Germany, to be brutally honest, we need to be very, very good and they need to have like an off day.
Of course.
Yeah. And we need to have a bit of luck.
But only a fool would think otherwise. And that's
well,
why...
Well, there are quite a lot of fools in England.
Yeah. I know there are. But that's why when Southgate, we played Germany and Brazil, he set up a much more defensive 3-5-2 and contained them. And yes, it's only a friendly. So you would imagine it would be a different story.
Against Germany, they always want to beat England. It doesn't matter if it's a friendly with Germany.
Not as much as we want to beat them.
That's what I'm saying. Germany will treat... That's what I mean. If you draw Germany or Spain in the quarterfinal of a World Cup, and you gave me that option now for the summer, I would take Germany every day of the week because Germany are much more likely to be drawn into like a sort of emotionally led approach to it.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Because of their history of England. Spain won't do that.
No.
They will beat us heavily.
But it goes back to what I've said about Southgate, is he knows this. He's not going to say, right, we're going to go and match them and toe for toe and all that kind of stuff, because that's stupid. And so England are not as good as these sides. But going back to Germany versus Spain, I mean, Thomas Müller scored a great goal. I think it's his 38th international goal. Absolute beauty.
Yeah, 25-yard against David De Gea, who made a great save against Julian Draxler as well.
He did.
The amount of saves on display.
De Gea was moaning about the new ball, and a few goalkeepers have done this, and the new Adidas ball that will be used at the World Cup.
Part of the furniture now, isn't
it? Yeah, every goalkeeper moans about the World Cup.
I remember in 98, keepers were moaning about
What was the name of the ball in 98? 2010
remember.
Was the Jabulani, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was, apart from that and the Adidas Tango, I'm
sure they've all got like marketing.
They do, but I think...
Brazuca was the last one. It was
Brazuca was the one. Yeah, amazing. Sergio Ramos earned his 150th cap for Spain. He's only 31.
How many cards?
Yeah, yeah.
149. 149.
Yeah, yeah.
Has he been sent off for Spain?
Not sure.
Oh, he must have done. He's 17 caps behind Spain's record holder, Iker Casillas. That's an incredible 150 caps is an amazing achievement at all. But he's still 31. You just imagine as the type of player he is, another 2 or 3 years, you suspect.
Yeah. At least. For an outfield player, it's a remarkable record.
Absolutely superb, yeah. But you're right, Luke. I think that it is quite sobering in one sense, but it depends how you treat England. If you look at them in context, then you can just sit back and enjoy Spain and Germany.
We all know Germany and Spain are good teams, but just the way they both played in that game, It was amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even because I'd watched England before that, because England weren't bad.
But you hope you see the two countries like that face off at the World Cup against each other, because it doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes with a draw, you get sort of lesser opposition against...
If that 1-1 was in a second-round game in the World Cup or something, we'd be talking about a classic. We'd be sat here talking about a classic. It was so fiercely contested.
What I love about those sort of games where the teams are of that quality is that, as well as being an intensely demanding physical battle, because the amount of skill those players have and the vision of those players, it's like a mental battle as well. You can really see how hard they're thinking as well as working.
Oh, yeah, and that's often where the real fatigue comes in, of course. Portugal and Egypt played, of course. The two big names both scored. Ronaldo is never one to be outshot.
No. Oh, and wasn't that so clear? He was as tricksy as I have ever seen him.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, like, staring daggers at Mo Salah the whole game. Like, you want to see who's bossed, yeah?
I think he uses that to fuel himself. And I think one of the things I most enjoyed, of course, Portugal 1-2-1. Uh-huh. Ronaldo scored two goals in injury time.
That's right.
The thing I like most about it...
I know what you're going to say.
It's a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And
picked up the ball.
He scored his first goal. No celebration. Grab the ball. Go again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Needs to be the big man.
Yeah.
Also, there was a pass back and a free kick in the area. That's what I mean. Needs to be some sort of klaxon for that.
But what I loved,
that's always a good thing.
Yeah. But what I loved about that, Luke, is when he equalised, he was only just therefore level with Mo Salah.
Yeah, but
and he thought, right, there's one more goal in this.
I find it interesting. That's your guys' interpretation. My interpretation of it is just that he's so desperate to win everything all the time
for himself
that he doesn't even. But so what?
No, I know. But
he doesn't even think about it. Does he?
I know. But we're agreeing essentially. We're just addressing it out slightly differently. Kickoff apparently was delayed as Salah and Ronaldo posed on the touchline for just one more photograph with a crowd.
Like Ronaldo
responses.
Having a headlock.
Yeah. That's absolutely superb. But there's now only two men that have scored more international goals than Cristiano Ronaldo: French Puskás and Iran's Ali Daei. Ronaldo has 81 goals, Puskás 84, and Daei 109. So obviously a little bit off Daei, but three off French Puskás. Just phenomenal. He scored 22 goals this calendar year, all of them from inside the box, which shows you the differing styles, of course, from his play.
Yeah,
but he's 81 goals. This phenomenal. Is a guy who didn't start off as a striker.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal achievement.
And we'll probably cover him on the concert on Wednesday, because we spent the first half of the season talking about how the goals seem to have dried up for him at Real Madrid, but now he's turned it around to such an extent.
He's turned the taps on.
He's got like 22 and 11 or something like that.
It's phenomenal. if I'm looking forward to seeing Egypt at the World Cup, mainly because of Mo Salah, I'm sure we're all there. But if Egypt win a match at the finals, and it's their first World Cup tournament, of course, since 1990, will we see Ahmed El Mohammadi celebrating his own like that time when Hull were promoted?
And
remember, Luke, you were a big fan of that.
Oh, I thought it was absolutely outrageous. But the reason that comes back to mind is because, obviously, he's in the squad, and he's got a huge amount of caps for Egypt. Mm. But his, in my mind...
Yep.
Feel free to look it up and come back to us. In my mind, his dance in front of the camera was exactly the same as Alan Pardew's in the FA Cup final. Yeah.
No, it was different. It was different. Pardew's, the arms were close to the body.
Right.
Very close, like elbows touching the yeah. ribcage.
What and Al Mohammadi
Al Mohammadi's arms were out and fingers were pointing.
Right, okay.
I think that, off the top of my head.
Pete, you're the official dance correspondent. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. That's my Stone Roses dance.
Yeah.
I got my Strokes dance. Two different things, massively.
Yeah.
Did you wear them both out of the weekend?
Yeah. One probably segues into the other, right?
I was at the wedding and there was a Scottish man in a kilt. And you know, you have those kind of booths where you get your picture taken with stupid hats on and stuff. He insisted on going in and making the photographer take four pictures of him just eating chips. So that was quite nice.
Well, you danced at
the
wedding.
That got stuck in the book. To give to the happy couple, a Scottish man in a kilt eating chips by himself.
I want to know if you were dancing at the wedding, because you're officially an uncle now and you're in your mid to late 30s.
Yes, so
you
would be tie around the head.
You'd be a creepy uncle now.
Yeah. I wasn't. Why would I be creepy?
Now.
Well. Jim, will you be supporting Mohamed Elneny at the World Cup?
I'll be supporting Mo Salah, actually.
Okay, right.
Just all the Mohammeds.
Just to see how that pushes him on.
There we are.
All right.
Hector Cooper in charge of Egypt, of course. The man who took Valencia to two Champions League finals.
Mm.
Remember that? He stuck his neck out and said, I think that without a doubt, Mo Salah is one of the best players for Egypt.
I think we can all agree on that.
Big talk.
He knows his squad. There's a man who knows his squad.
I told you, I heard that Ahmed Hegazi was absolutely fuming with that quote.
I said one of. He did say that the team need to give Salah a platform and backing to what he's doing if they able to do something good in Russia. They're in a group, of course, with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. But it is intriguing because the comments about what the comments Cooper made about that, if the team can almost give them a platform to Big Mo up front, then they could do something. And they play to his strengths, I think. They like to play the ball on the deck, Egypt. They're quite technically gifted players. And it's an absolute mystery how they've not qualified for a World Cup since 1990, having been so successful in the Africa Cup of Nations. But players often from that part of the world in North Africa, they like the technical side of the game. It's almost slight Spanishy, really. You know, obviously not quite as good as those players, but it will be interesting to see. You know, again, a top player like that and a few other experienced wily foxes in there as well could be all right. Could be decent.
Well, I mean, you'd back them to get out of that group, right? You think them and Uruguay would go through?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you'd be worried if you were Russian, wouldn't you, looking at that side?
Well, Egypt play Uruguay first. That's the problem. England have benefited massively from not playing Belgium first. Egypt's you would argue Egypt's two toughest games come first. They play Uruguay, then they play Russia, who, of course, you know, not a great side, but they are the hosts.
Yeah.
So it's a tough old start for them.
They will be...
they'd love to play Saudi Arabia first, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, well, of course...
The match between Wales and Uruguay finished Uruguay winning 1-0. Cavani with the goal.
Cheers for the update, Pete.
No silverware for Bale and the boys.
Bale said that silverware for country would have probably meant more than club. And I thought to myself, yes, traditionally, if you're going to win the World Cup...
I'd trade both these Champions League winners middle for a China Cup, man.
But I admire that passion. It's the kind of passion we didn't see Ryan Giggs for the Welsh side. When he was a player, of course, one could argue. Russia themselves were in a match against Brazil, an easy win for Brazil. Now, Tite was looking to work on Brazil's attack in that game, and it's fair to say that it's working. They'll no doubt come against teams who are going to defend against them. Like,
I mean, do they have to work on anything? In my mind, they don't work on anything.
Can you imagine if you're a Brazilian footballer and the manager comes in and goes, I think we're going to work on the attack today. Excellent.
What were we doing all of the other days?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I mean, we've just been shooting adverts.
We've just been dancing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tito was. I think he's had one or two little pieces of criticism back in his home nation for picking a very European squad or a team that is currently playing in
and
Europe.
Wearing his daughter's clothes.
Maybe. That's something I've not heard of. I can't confirm or deny.
That was Dunga, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did that?
But the way you framed that is like he's dressing up in her actual clothes. When his daughter is a fashion designer.
Right, he's wearing like a schoolgirl's uniform.
I'd love to see you defend that. In a libel hearing. Yeah. They're technically her clothes.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson, you stand accused of being a creepy uncle.
Good news is Brazil didn't need to start Roberto Firmino, Edison.
Neymar didn't need to.
I know, yeah. It's frightening.
Fernandinho didn't get any minutes.
No, yeah. there's only one player in the whole of the Brazil squad who isn't or has never played in Europe, which is the centre back Rodrigo Cal, as I say, there's had an ounce of criticism back in Brazil, and back in Brazil, let's just mention a little bit of club football, if we may. I've got to shoehorn this somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, because Santos, I think they've got a bit of financial woes and whatnot. A great club like Santos, you don't want to see them struggling there.
Pelé's club, of course.
Yeah, Neymar as well. But the Santos president, José Carlos Pérez, was talking about the need to cut back on staff. And he said, Santos can no longer be a teat. A teat with 420 sucklings sucking out its milk. There's not enough milk, people. This is an excellent analogy.
Where's the gun? He said that.
This is an
excellent analogy. Milk.
What's the 420 bit?
Well, I think that there's that many staff having a little suckle away. There's not enough milk to go around there.
All right.
Santos is not a teat.
No.
If we've learned nothing
not a
more.
Platypuses, they don't have nipples. They just excrete. They sweat milk.
Oh.
They sweat milk.
Where's that come from?
A little factoid for you.
To be fair, it does seem irrelevant. Yeah. I know it's... Seems I
think Santos is not a platypus.
I think there might be a handful of amphibians out there who might breathe through their skin as well.
Whoa.
Just a handful.
Yeah.
Just a handful. A couple of them are in that England squad.
Tick that box.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Right, we're going to talk about Mad Dog Martin Allen after this.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Do not forget, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Our best bettor didn't get it right.
Correct.
Between Argentina and Italy.
Barry Lloyd missed the mark. And I'll say what I've always said.
Sod off.
With the exception of the great Barry Davis, can you trust a man called Barry?
Yeah.
No.
Evidently no, based on this. No.
I mean,
Barry Gibb, no.
You're letting us down, listeners.
Yeah.
Barry Manilow.
You're a barren runt.
Not trustworthy.
Yeah. Anyone else? Famous Barrys? Barry Venison?
Barry Venison, there we go.
There was a Pulp song about Barry. Oh, it was on their second last album, but I can't remember what it was called.
And I wouldn't like to brack it up.
Was it called Common Barry's?
People living in the town of Barry in Wales, which must be a mixed bag.
Gareth Barry, you could rely on him.
Yes, very reliable. There you go. Gareth Barry.
The Thames Barrier.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the Thames Barry. Yeah.
Gareth Barry is probably the most trustworthy example of a Barry.
Yeah.
If you know any different, show at thefootballramble.com with evidence as to why someone you know called Barry is trustworthy. In lieu of that, for Thursday, we are going to need a new bettor in the hot seat. You're running out of time now. Mm. We're getting through the entire season without anyone getting one of those elusive hat tricks and an Order of the Ramble Empire to go up on the wall in the studio.
Yeah.
The walls are bare. It's down to you. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to be one of our best bettors with Bet365. I'll pick another one on Thursday.
Absolutely. Let's have a little bit of club football to League 2, because they did play. They did play over the weekend.
Sorry, League 1. How's that not in there? Pompey on TV, 1-3-0. Not on the running order. Disgrace.
You got it in, didn't you?
Disgrace.
Yeah. Nice. There were some incidents in that game.
Was fantastic, wasn't there?
Go on then. Here's
your
chance.
Handbags, aren't there?
Just very, very quickly, for those who didn't see it.
Which will probably be about 25% of us.
I was doing a radio show that was like music, but also as the goals went in, I was like, very little football I talk about on a Saturday. A League Two match, Notts County and then bloody Portsmouth.
Bloody Portsmouth.
you got music and chat. Everybody loves that.
Go on then, what happened?
Well, Portsmouth were 1-0 up and Oxford were rewarded a penalty.
Mm.
Pivotal moment. And the guy, cut a long story short, it probably was a penalty, to be fair. The guy stepped up, took the penalty, hit the inside of the post and it came out.
It went flying, didn't it?
Yeah, it came out. Nathan Thompson, Portsmouth third player, ran up to the guy taking the penalty, goaded him right in his face, to the point where the Oxford United player got so annoyed, he slapped him. Nathan Thompson hit the deck So the guys at the penalty got sent off. And then we won 3-0.
Yay.
Up yours, Oxford.
Pittman did another one.
Yeah. Oh, Pittman got two, actually.
Yeah.
He was my tip to be top scorer in the division this year.
No new manager bounce for Oxford.
No.
Certainly not.
Carl Robinson went home empty-handed.
Poor old Carl. Now, we spoke about Mad Dog Martin Allen last week. Allen's Barnet. That's his team, not his haircut. A bottom of the league. 7 points from safety with 7 games left.
Uh-oh.
Mad Dog, he tried a different approach ahead of the Luton Town game on the weekend. He got John Motson to speak to the players pre-match. He said, Motty is a mate of mine. All right, Martin.
Very alliterative.
Yeah. He always comes into the club. He made them all smile, made them all laugh. When you're in the situation, you've got to make them relax. They need love, not a slap.
What is he doing back there?
Luton won 2-0.
To be fair, Luton are top of the league.
Yeah, they still won, though.
Yeah. What is Martin Allen doing back there when in his... This is his fifth... I told you I met
Yeah, you mentioned it last week.
He's the most intense man I've ever met. The fourth spell he had, he saved them from relegation. Hmm. Then they started the next season pretty well. And then he asked to leave to go to Eastleigh, who aren't even the professional team.
Mm.
Right?
What's that
and
about?
They said, yes, okay, you can go to Eastleigh, which is one of the most bizarre moves in the Football League at the time. Now he's back at Eastleigh again, at Barnet again for a fifth time.
Did you not hear John Motson's a mate of his?
Yes, fine. Yeah. Good.
I also love that his two methods are love or slap.
Yeah, depends on where the slaps are.
There's no in between.
He just spins a wheel and it's either love or slap. Yeah. Nothing. Sometimes he combines them both.
No. Yeah.
There we are. I think it's time to go in for gold.
A kiss and a slap on the bum. Where's me thing?
Come on. When they're
going for gold. Yeah!
Pete, we get into it, update. What? Jim Campbell's on a fifth. Jim Campbell's on 5 in a row.
He's on a glut.
He's halfway. It'd be halfway to doing a Rangers 10 in a row.
It was 9 in a row. Celtic are on for 10 in a row.
Right, how many have they done?
Both have got, Celtic and Rangers both have got 9 in a row.
How many have Celtic on this run done?
Ooh, is it 6?
Okay.
6 or 7?
On their way.
They are very much
Well,
on
Big
their way.
Brendan said that's his stated aim, isn't it?
Mm. Is that right?
Yeah. Till Arsenal come a knocking, Jim.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's going to be tough when that
happens.
Hands off Rafa. John Cray. Hello, John Cray. Thank you to all the people who got involved actually sending me Going for Glold. There was a glut, Going for Glold glut
was there?
Of clues this week. Basically, I've got a lot of clues pertaining to a secret footballer. Somebody complained that I didn't explain it properly.
All right.
Secret footballer, you guys have to guess what it is.
Have you heard JJ's Jigsaw on 5 Live?
Yeah. It's basically that. First clue from John Cray. I was born on the 12th of April, 1973.
Stop. David Batty.
No.
Stop. Ruud Gullit.
No.
Actually, that's not going to work, is it? Ruud Gullit, Jesus. He's a lot older than that.
I have played in Liga Calcio, La Liga, the FA Carling Premiership, and French Division 1.
Can you repeat those?
Liga Calcio. And La Liga, the FA Carling Premiership, which is a little bit of a clue there, isn't it? And the French Division 1.
Stop. Guys, Comendieta.
Incorrect.
Nah. It's going to be in one day.
Stop. Yeah. Thierry Henry.
Incorrect. I'm a 2-time Champions League winner.
Stop. Steve McManaman.
Incorrect.
Stop. Manuel Petit. No, he didn't win it.
Incorrect. I've played on both sides of the Derby della Madonnina. Or Madonnina.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's that?
It's Inter Juventus, isn't it?
No, that's the Derby dell'Italia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, how do you say it again, Peter? Sorry.
The Derby della... Imagine Madonna, but with Ina at the end. Madonnina.
That's the Milan Derby, isn't it? It's the Milan Derby.
I'm reading out the clues.
He doesn't know.
I'm not giving you any more. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you know?
It's the Milan Derby. You're right. That one's Derby dell'Italia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop. Clarence Seedorf?
Nah, he won it 3 times.
He's actually won it more than that, hasn't he, Seidel?
Incorrect. I followed manager Fabio Capello to 3 football teams.
Ooh.
Stop, Edgar Davids.
Incorrect. I am the highest scoring defender in Roma history.
Rome?
Roma history.
Stop. Cicinho.
Incorrect.
Stop, Cafu.
Incorrect.
He's not playing the Premiership.
Of course he hasn't. Yeah.
After retirement, I became a pundit for Sky Italia and a participant on the Italian edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Stop. Douglas Mikon.
Incorrect.
Douglas.
It's actually Mikon Douglas.
Mikon Douglas,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Douglas. Leaving the 1996 Olympics, I was originally booked on TWA flight 800, but a baggage mix-up caused me to take a different flight. Later that day, that flight exploded, killing 230 passengers.
Stop. Taribo West.
Incorrect.
Stop. Is it Junior Baiano?
Incorrect.
Oh.
The team I currently manage finished third behind Spain and Italy in round one of the World Cup 2018 qualifiers.
Roque Santa Cruz.
Incorrect.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Finished behind... Hang on, stop. Roque Sanchez?
Incorrect.
I'm not listening to any of the clues. I'm just saying. No, just saying
he's shouting names. My nickname.
Stop. No, go on.
How does that work? Because you didn't have a guess that round.
Yeah, you got a guess. Yeah, you said stop. You got a guess. You can't tell you any more clues.
No, I can say.
No, you can't tell you any more clues. You've got a guess.
Kaladze.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. That's why I said get on with it.
Carry on, Peter.
My nickname is. It's the last clue. My nickname, so Max is out of the game. My nickname.
No, that's not. I'm not.
Yeah, because you had a guess on the clue.
You didn't listen to the
clue. You can't have another guess on the clue.
That's why I said carry on, and then you said, no, you got a guess.
You can't stop it. And
I'd only started the next clue, Marcus.
Carry on, Pete. You're in charge of this,
Pete. Sorry, Marcus.
That's poor.
My nickname is El Grinta.
Well, no, anyway.
Oh, my God, have you all struck out?
Wow.
This is rare, isn't it?
I'm not allowed another guess.
No, Marcus,
all
right,
what would you have said? What would you have said then, Marcus?
Barry Grintles.
Barry Grintles. It's not Barry Grintles, Marcus. It's Christian Panucci.
Of course, Flavour Chelsea. Damn, son.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Damn.
It's always annoying because it might have even been myself. Somebody mentions like a Brazilian and you all it's a Brazilian. They were all far away.
Panuch. Thank you, John Cray, for all of those fantastic clues. You really stitched these guys up like
you've broken Jim's run.
Yeah,
terrible. Yeah. Well, there we go.
There we are.
Yeah. Does that mean you have won now, Pete? Have you
got? Well, John Cray has.
Yeah, John Cray's on the board.
Yeah,
excellent stuff. Very good.
Well done, everyone.
Very good. Disappointing from us, but there we are. What do you bloody well expect, ladies and gentlemen? That's the end of the football ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Say goodbye, Luke.
Barry Grintles.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Good Barry.
Say goodbye, Petey.
More Barrys.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook?
And my dad would think, I don't know, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.